As you're returning to your seats, do want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. Tomorrow night, men, we would love to have you come and be involved in our men's fellowship happening at the Duels residence tomorrow evening from 7 to 9 p.m. If you have questions or would like to bring something concerning that, please see Brother Mike Duell. I know we have some refreshments and some little finger foods, if you will, so if you'd be willing to help out in that, please let him know. That is tomorrow night from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Duels residence. And Friday night, if you're interested in going to the sectional rally that is happening at Steger United Pentecostal Church, this is a Section 10 rally. And if you would like to go, we will provide transportation for you. The church van is leaving here at 6:30 on Friday night in order to be there in time for service. And so if you would like to go, we can provide transportation for you to and from. You'll just have to make it here to the church. And then you can ride with the church van going to and from the rally there in Steger. Then Saturday, Thursday night, we have something for the men. On Saturday, we have something for the women. And from 11 to 1 p.m. at our residence, there is a women's health class. And so if you would like to go and be a part of that, they certainly welcome you to do that. And that's happening from 11 to 1 p.m. We're going to take some needs to the Lord in prayer. And as we often do, I'll open it up for anybody to make a request known, and we'll pray concerning it. I'll start on my left. I normally start on my right, but I'll just start on my left tonight. Sister Pat. I just remember Randy and Sandy D. I'm not only they lost loved ones here of late, but I just ask the Lord to work in that situation. Certainly, Sister Joanne, I saw your hand. Sure. Certainly. His name is Ron. Ron Brigney. All right, I just remember him in prayer. Certainly. Sister Angela. Certainly. All right. Certainly. Certainly. Sister Christy. Goodness. Certainly. Certainly. Anybody else? Yes. Remember little Ethan. He's not feeling well. Sister D as well, or just... Just Ethan. All right. I just remember little Ethan battling sickness there. So, all right. All right. Certainly. Starting. All right. Continue to remember that. Also, why don't you stand? talked to my mother-in-law today, and my brother-in-law, some of you remember, Jesse and Brittany, my wife's sister, younger sister, and her husband. They have a baby on the way, which is wonderful, but my brother-in-law just found out today. He thought he had a minor issue with his knee. He's a younger guy, maybe. I know he's in his early 30s. But when he went to a specialist today and they did more x-rays and found out that he's got a very severe tear on his ACL. And not only did it tear, but it started healing itself, and it started healing incorrectly. And so there's some major surgery that's going to have to go on in his knee. He does manual labor for a living, and being out of work for a number of weeks and a new baby on the way, and there's just a lot of questions there. And ultimately, we'd love for God just to heal his knee and him not have to go through surgery. And so let's remember Jesse and Brittany Powell in prayer as well. Can we do that? Can we go to the Lord right now? Dear Jesus, oh, we love you. God, we thank you that we can come to you in our time of need. God, we thank you that whether it's a job situation, whether it's a healing of the body, God, whether it's comfort, God, whether it's answers to questions, Lord, whatever the situation is, God, we know that we can come before you in prayer, believing and trusting in your power to work and to move and to help. God, we thank you that we call out, God, we come to you, God, with these needs, God, knowing that you know what we have need of before we ask or even think it, Lord, but we vocalize, we put to voice, God, these situations and circumstances, just knowing, God, that you are able, God, and we speak in faith to your wonder-working power to work and to move in each and every one of these situations. We love you, Jesus. We thank you that we can bind together, believe, and touch these things, God, and believe and trust for you to work and to move, to heal, to help, whatever the need is, God. We know that you're able to meet and supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We glorify you. We honor you, God. Who you are and what you do in your name that is above every name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Hallelujah. Everybody said amen. Why don't you clap your hands in the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are continuing in our study of growing a church. We are on the final principle of apostolic growth, what it means to have apostolic growth. We have gone down through, and tonight we are on what is called the seventh apostolic principle, and that is personal involvement. In my humanity, I when church first started and I looked out and I thought, wow, people must have known what I was teaching on tonight. But then people began to gather, and so I thank you for coming, even though some of you may have not even realized that you came on the night where I was teaching on personal involvement. But thank you for being here. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be here in the house of the Lord. And I hope that when we're done here tonight, I hope last week, I know we talked about personal care and having the care about what happens and feeling a personal responsibility and accountability for our part in being involved in what goes on here. But I hope that tonight you understand that this is one of those areas that Pastor is working on. As I went through this study and as I looked at the chapter on this, and many of you know the book is by Brother David K. Bernard, who is our General Superintendent of United Pentecostal Church International. And as I begin to read down through the chapter and the things that he mentioned concerning personal involvement and delegation, all the things we're going to get into, I realized right away, wow, this is an area where I need to work. This is an area where I know that getting people involved in the things of God is an area that I work on. Because let's face it, we all, and this is not in my notes, but I was feeling this today as I was driving and praying, and we all have, and I believe it's a God thing, we all have a need, a desire to feel wanted, to feel like we matter, like our involvement is necessary, like what we do means something and has substance. Like if I say this a lot, I I have such, and you say, well, you're a pastor, you're your ministry, but I have such personal accountability that sometimes I have to force myself, and this is just me, even when my family is away on vacation, I have to kind of force myself to disconnect because I'm so concerned about what's going on because I'm not there. Now follow what I'm saying. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to have such attachment and such involvement and such accountability that when I'm not there or I'm not involved, then I feel like it can't be everything that it could be and should be. And that's, I guess, if you will, that's the thrust. That's the main thing I want to try to get across to us tonight, is that I want people to feel like this is my church. And what goes on here, I have a lot of responsibility and accountability for. It's not just the place I go to worship. It's not just my doorway to heaven, if you will, but it's my church. And what goes on there matters to me. And kind of like we touched on last week, do I take personal responsibility for whether the church is growing or whether it is not? And if I can look at myself and say, I do take personal responsibility. I do, if you will, and excuse the candidness, I feel personally responsible and insulted because the church is not growing like I know it could and should. I know that's heavy, and I'm not up here trying to put condemnation on anybody. Remember, when we talked about it, we talked about doing it willingly, not out of obligation, not out of compulsion, not because pastor's beating us up for not doing it, but because I care. I care so much, and the church matters so much to me, not just in my giving of my finances, but in the giving of my time, of my abilities, of my talents. It matters that much to me. And so that's really the crux of what we're going to talk about. Obviously, as we always do, we'll review. Number one, prayer. Number two, planning. Number three, persistence. Number four, preaching and teaching. Number five, power and demonstration of the Spirit. Number six, which is where we were last week, with personal care. And tonight, number seven, personal involvement. I want to look at a focus verse. It's found in Romans chapter 12. Thank you, Brother Mike, for the water. It's very difficult to drink water when you have a mic in front of your mouth. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 6 through 6. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. I thought about it in this sense. Obviously, the Apostle Paul writing the church at Rome, talking about personal involvement, each and one of us a member. I thought about it, and I'm not being demeaning or rude, but I thought to myself in this way, if somebody has an issue in their natural body where not everything's functioning as it should, it's obvious. There's something, if maybe they have paralysis, or maybe there's something happening, maybe there's a severe issue. If there is members of their body that are not functioning as they should, it's obvious. It doesn't take that much intuition or understanding to look at someone and know right away there's something wrong. And if it's that way in the natural, and the Bible says we understand spiritual things by looking at natural things, If in the sense of our spiritual body, in the sense of this church as the body of Christ, I kind of hesitate to say it this way, but I don't want to be a paralytic church. I don't want us to be a body that is handicapped. I don't want us to be a body that even though I believe we have the capability and the opportunity and everything necessary to function as we should, why are we not? What are the What's the reason? What are the symptoms? What's the cause of us not functioning, us not growing and maturing as we should? And so when I look at these scriptures, I've got to say this. If anything else, I want us to feel, all of us to feel like I have a personal part. And so the focus thought, if you will, is simply this. Every believer should have an active ministry, a specific place in the of service in the body of Christ. Not all of us are going to have an opportunity to be in a public speaking setting. Not all of, and please, I've understood from a very early on in my ministry that really a large percentage of what happens in ministry doesn't happen behind the pulpit. It happens boots on the ground. It happens in interacting. It happens in relationships. It happens in connecting with people. Because if the only time that I'm really ministering is when I'm behind the sacred desk or I'm in the pulpit, I am not doing what God has called me to do. I may be preaching, and that's all well and good, and that's a part of it. But preaching and teaching is only one of the seven. And so if we're going to grow as a body of believers, we have to understand that there's a lot more to ministry than just someone getting up and ministering behind the pulpit, or someone being willing to play an instrument or sing a song. And while all those things are a part of what we do, and they are necessary and they're essential, there is so much more that has to happen and needs to happen for the body of Christ to function as it should. And I believe this with all my heart, when someone is a believer, when someone comes to the understanding that God changes lives and that God is necessary for anybody to make heaven their home at whatever stage they are in their walk and relationship with God, I believe getting them involved is essential to getting them connected and getting them grounded and having them be a part of the body of Christ. Let's talk about producing involvement. How do we produce involvement? Is there some secret formula? Is there something we do in order to have involvement produced in our lives where we have people that just really want to be involved and say, well, whatever needs to happen, I want to make sure it happens. And it doesn't matter what category it is. It doesn't matter what particular ministry it may be. I want to find where I fit and find an active role in ministry and being able to meet the needs of other people. Because here's the reality of it. The more I am not doing things to meet the needs of other people, the more I focus upon my own needs. And the more I focus upon my own needs, the more selfish and self-consumed I become. And that's why drama is such a big thing, because if we were more involved in other people's lives, we wouldn't have so much drama in our own. I'm preaching to all of us. And so there has to come the understanding that God has empowered me and God has placed this desire in my heart and in my life. And there should be personal care about what happens to other people, so much so that I personally become involved. And I do whatever I can, be it little, be it big, whatever I can do to be involved in the church of the living God, I want to do it. I want to make a difference. Effective leadership inspires, motivates, disciples, instructs, trains, and prepares people to be active, productive members who are involved in the body of Christ. As I looked at that, I thought to myself, wow, I got some work to do. Because I'm obviously not doing everything I should be doing. I am not being the effective leader that I feel God has called me to be. And so I've got to find areas where God help me to improve so I can become a better leader. So I can better inspire and instruct and disciple and train. That's what's going to produce involvement, is getting people involved and letting them know this is an area where you can work and you can do and you can make a difference and you can minister to people. Effective leadership involves people by, number one, delegating authority. Now, tonight, and not that I'm not normally transparent, but tonight we'll be pretty transparent. I've stated throughout this thing, you see, I grew up in a church where daddy did everything. I did. And even now, my dad, 64 years of age, he is working himself to death. And I love that he's a mentor in my life. I love the man, but he is, for so long he's done so much by himself that he's now kind of pigeonholed himself into that where he doesn't know how to delegate authority. He doesn't know how to really, and I'm not speaking against him, but I grew up in that environment, and I grew up under that kind of mentoring, and I'm saying, Lord, help me to break that mold. Help me to understand that I've got to learn how to delegate. I've got to learn how to release people, delegate authority and let them take it and run with it. And some of that is because in our pride, there's that feeling that, well, it's not going to get done the way I would do it. Well, it might not. But I still have to be willing to delegate that authority. I still have to be willing. And even though I know the principle, and even though I know, even if I can give 100%, but I got five different things, that means I can only give 20% of myself to each of those things if it was even. And so if somebody else could do half as good a job as I could, guess what? They're 30 more percent than I could. Do you understand the math? I know that I ran that real quick, but it's about... I'm not demeaning anybody. I'm just saying, I, sorry. If you learn to delegate the authority and say, I'm gonna turn this over to you, and not just turn it over to you and say, run with it. You got to give some kind of responsibility, some area. And I know this, but knowing it and putting it to use and making it practical and applying it, that's altogether different. And sometimes authority is somewhat given in the sense of election, or in the sense of being voted into a certain position in the church, or being put in a position by pastor where there's a certain level of authority that is delegated to you as an individual in that particular area. And I've got to learn how to be better at that. I've got to learn how to delegate better. And let other, and here's the thing, and I hope that most of you understand this. Not delegating because I'm lazy and I don't want to do it. If anybody knows me and knows my work, I'm not a lazy person. I never have been, and God willing, never will be. But at the same point in time, there's enough to go around. There's enough for us all to have a piece of the pie and us all to have a part in what happens and what goes on. And yes, maybe they won't be or do as good, but I've got to be willing to delegate, because it's not about me. It's about others and getting other people involved and having that sense of responsibility and accountability. Number one, delegating authority. Number two, giving responsibility. There's a lot of people that want authority, but then they need to understand with that authority comes some responsibility. If I'm going to delegate that authority, well, then I need to understand that once I receive that delegation of authority, then there's a responsibility to do what needs to be done. One of the first things that happened when I was elected in the state of Florida as the youth president, one of the first things I did, I don't know if it was right after the election, I don't remember exactly, but when I had opportunity, I went to my district superintendent, Brother C. Patton Williams, and I said, Brother Williams, could you do me a favor? Could you provide me with a job description? I want to know what my responsibility is. I've been given this authority by the ministerial constituency of this district and this state, and I'm honored, I'm humbled, but I want to know what I need to do. What is, as youth president of the state of Florida, what is my job requirement? Because now that I've been given this authority, I understand authority comes with responsibility. So what is my responsibility? And see, that's, and please, can I say this without you thinking that I'm in any way being arrogant or I almost hesitate, because sometimes when somebody delegates something and it's given to individuals, and they look at the individual who gave them the responsibility or delegated the authority to them, and they look at them and say, well, man, I won't be able to do it like they can do it. Please understand, this is not arrogance, this is not pride, but you need to understand from pastor and from other, just because you may feel inadequate or you may feel inferior to the person who is delegating you the authority and providing you with an area of responsibility, what you need to do, instead of looking at it that way, what you need to look at it as, this individual has entrusted me. They have seen me fit, and they believe me able to do this, or they never would have delegated the authority and the responsibility. And why, when it came to being youth president of the state of Florida, and please understand, I'm just using it as an example, while I was honored and I was humbled and I was awed by the opportunity, I looked at others who had been in that situation and in that circumstance, in that area of responsibility, and I thought, wow, I don't know if I'll be able to do as good a job as so-and-so did. And I remember I was very, very transparent with the district superintendent. We sat down over lunch, and I told him, I said, Brother Williams, I said, I'm worried. I said, because I realize that many of these former youth presidents were full-time in ministry, and I'm not full-time in ministry. So my schedule and working a secular job and my other responsibilities in life, I'm worried if I'm going to be able to do what needs to be done. And my superintendent, who's a very wise man, and he looked at me and said, do you realize that the other individual that was in the running was and is in full-time ministry? And I said, yeah. He said, you know what that tells me? That tells me the brethren believe in you enough that you'll be able to do the responsibility with your job. I said, well, I didn't really look at it that way. He said, evidently they believe you can do it. I believe you can do it. Don't sell yourself short, or don't think just because you're not in full-time ministry in this area of your life that you're not going to be adequate or you're not going to be able to do what needs to be done. They believe you can do it. I believe you can do it. Now, it did help, just a little humor injection here, it did help that the former youth president had to resign. Matter of fact, he's still a friend of mine and we still talk, and I jokingly tell him sometimes, I was like, bro, you know, I said, from my heart, you know, I love you, but how bad could I have done? He jokingly responded to me, well, he said, guess what? He said, bro, all you had to do was stay out of prison and you were good. Now, we laugh about that, and I'm not demeaning or any making light of the situation or the circumstance, but I, the brethren believed in me, and I had to believe in myself. So even when somebody delegates responsibility and gives you authority, and you may look at that individual and say, well, that individual can do a better job than me, or that individual's much better at this than me, or they have more ability, or they're more savvy in this area. That person believes in you enough, catch this, that they would delegate that authority and give that responsibility. So instead of looking like you're inferior or you're not able or you're not up to the task, thank God that someone saw enough in you to say, you're able. You can do it. Delegate authority, give responsibility, and finally, establishing accountability. There has to be some kind of measure of success. Is it being done? Are things happening? Is there anything? Are there fruit of the labor? Is there something going in and then coming out? Is there, what's happening? What's the accountability that's there? There's authority that's delegated and there's responsibility that's given. Well, is there accountability in the other marks? Are there measurements that say I'm doing the responsibility? I'm taking that authority that was given unto me and I'm doing something with it, that I have taken what the master has given unto me and I'm returning unto him more than what he gave me, or am I just hiding it in the sand? We all know that parable. Now here's the thing. Some of this is on pastor, but not all. Not all. And God is helping me with that. And God is helping me. While I do take some of it personal, or sometimes God had to look at me and said, it's not all on you, Nate. It's not all on you. Now maybe you think it is, but it's not. Look at Numbers chapter 11. So the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 7 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the spirit that is upon you and I will put the same upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. Some of it is on me, but not all. That's why there's personal. There has to be personal accountability, personal involvement in this that we're doing. But remember this poster? If you do a little Google search, they say it's the most popular poster of all time. 4 million copies between 1917 and 1918. Many of you know it was Uncle Sam saying, I want you for the U.S. Army, and it was right before World War I. But basically, that's what I'm saying. I want you. We want you. The church wants you involved. We want you to take a personal evaluation and say, do I care enough to become involved? And if I do, how can I become more involved in seeing the church grow? Involved when? You say, when do you get people involved? What's the whole? And I'm gonna hurry on because I know we've got some ground to cover, and I want to give Sister Christy a little time to go over some bullet points of that what we introduced last week with Brother Al. But involved when? Well, here's what I believe: the sooner the better. The sooner the better. A key to winning and retaining people is getting them involved in relationships and activities. Now, I'm about to say something that I hope you love me after I say it. If I do not know why somebody is not coming here anymore, it's a personal indictment against me for not being more involved with them. Ooh, man, that's pretty straightforward, Pastor. It is. If I don't know why somebody's no longer attending here, then it's indictment against me. Why don't I know? Why don't I know why they're not coming anymore? And if I do know, have I done anything to help that situation? Have I done anything to try to reconcile? Have I reached into that person's life in any way and tried to get them reconnected to the church? Because the reality is, the more that people are connected, I know we've done the little thing where we've thrown the string and we've got people connected and we've tried to do object lessons and all that, but the reality is, if we're not going to connect them, if we're not going to make the effort to have personal care about whether or not they keep coming and whether or not they're going to be involved and whether or not we're going to be involved with them, why would we be surprised when they stop coming? I know that's straight. And if you expect pastor to make all those relationships and you expect pastor to invite people over to his house every week for dinner, woo. Let's all do a collective throat clear. Some of it's on me, but not all of it. What am I doing? They're no longer here. Why? Could I have done something to keep them from going? Could I have made a connection? Now, I understand there's some situations, there's a level of inappropriateness maybe because of gender and I get that. But if there's no reason why I shouldn't be connected to that individual, why am I not connected to him? And why do I not know why they're no longer coming? I'll just leave that there. When people get involved, they feel connected. They feel they belong. They feel important. They feel needed and they feel wanted. And we all have that. We want them to feel needed. We want them to feel wanted. We want them to feel involved. The church must become my church or our church instead of your church or that church. That's the hope, to get people from saying that your church or that church to start saying my church or our church. If we ever rename this church, I'll probably rename it our church. So when people ask where you go, I go to our church. Our church, some personal investment, some personal accountability where it's mine, it's my church, it's our church. There's some level of possession that says I have a piece, I have a part in that. Hurrying on. Getting involved and getting grounded. On-the-job training helps people become more effective. Wait, what do you mean? Now, granted, I know not everybody's going to agree with my philosophy. Getting people involved at whatever level they're at and making them feel involved and important and connected to what goes on, it helps them be more effective because it helps to create burden, and it helps to create care, which helps to get them more involved. And the more I can get somebody involved, and the more I can get somebody connected, and the more I can get somebody feeling like when they're not here, something's wrong and not everything's happening as it should, the more we got, excuse the analogy, the more we have hooks in them. And the more connections we're making, and the more personal responsibility and accountability they feel to being involved. Involvement will assist them in their own spiritual strength and growth. Because if I'm going to lead and help other people and I'm going to bring other people along, well, I got to be progressing myself. I got to be growing myself. If I'm going to lead others and help others, I've got to be moving myself and growing myself. When people are put to work and given responsibility, undercover abilities and hidden talents are noticed that otherwise might have never surfaced. Oh, so-and-so, who started out and she was just, you know, doing this and helping here, but we noticed she would lead and help the little kids sing a song, and she's got a beautiful voice, and I bet before long she would be able to be used in music ministry, and let's get her more involved and more discipleship and more training so that she can move along and become. And you get them involved, the sooner the better. There are usually more jobs to do than people willing to do them. Final thoughts. Sister Christy, get ready with your bullet points. You can start small, but by all means, start. Start. Get involved. Care creates initiative and burden. Look for people that care. You give me somebody that cares. You give me somebody that's got initiative and burden to see the things progress and see the things of God increase. I don't care whatever stage that person's at. I'm going to work with that individual. I'm going to get that individual involved. I'm going to do my best to find areas where that individual can find connections and be involved in the things of God. Certainly there's different levels. Certainly there's certain lines of demarcation, certainly. But to get people connected and involved is big because it creates more involvement, more care, and the cycle continues, more burden. And then all of a sudden, well, I don't look at that as being such a big requirement anymore because I understand that's an area of my life that I need to improve upon and be better so that I can lead and help other people. And so it's not that big of a deal. It's amazing how that happens. None of us got to where we were the first day, the first week. It took time. It took people being patient with the process as we grow and as we mature and as we made our mistakes along the way. Don't be scared of failure. Keep trying until the right fit is found. Man, it was just an area that I know needed help, and so I just got involved. It wasn't a great fit for me. I didn't function all that well, but at least it was better than not having anybody. But I realized maybe that's not the area that God really wants me to work in. And so now by process of elimination, I've eliminated one area, at least at this point in my life, where maybe I need to move on to something else. but I'm not going to be afraid of failure. I'm not going to be afraid of not making it. And especially when you talk with young ministers, and many times there's that inferiority, and I'm not going to be able to preach well. I'm not going to be able to do all these things, and I won't be able to do like pastor does and all. Don't worry about all that stuff, because you might find out that that's not a fit for you. Maybe you're a lot better at teaching Bible studies at a home kitchen table. Fine, we need people that are willing to do that. There are a surplus of possibilities and potential areas of ministry. So many areas of involvement. Final thought. I can either remain uninvolved and complain about the problem, or become involved and be part of the solution. Bam, there it is. We touched on it last week. Brother Al gave some testimonials about a program. And I understand this is not, listen to Pastor. I'm not saying that any program or any format is a perfect cure-all scenario. Anything that we do, any type of program, any type of process takes people. It takes involvement. It takes people willing to be involved. This that we've looked into, this curriculum called Revival by Design, it is not something that is just going to be a lick and a promise and then hope it works. It's going to take personal involvement. It's going to take people being willing to step out on faith, venture into some areas of authority and some responsibility and have some accountability. But if we understand that if we stick to it and we get involvement, it will work and God will use it. Sister Christy, I want you to get ready to come. She's got some bullet points. And really what I want to do is just kind of whet your appetite for what this is and what kind of curriculum this covers. Because not only will you see in just the bullet points that she's going to read, the different areas that this curriculum deals with. But as I read down through some of the areas, I, even though I've been in ministry for most of my adult life, said, wow, that's an area I'd like to know more about. That's an area I'd like to know more about. And so, Sister Christy, I want you to come. She's basically going to read through, and she'll tell you exactly what it is, some overview points. We've got about 5 minutes, and she's going to read through that and just kind of give you an idea as to the curriculum of this particular, or the content, rather, of this particular curriculum. Let me get you a mic set up here, Sister Christy. I apologize for not doing that earlier.
Came to the Lord, we took a number of mini-series along the lines of these, and they were great, and I just think that we can really gain a lot from them. Revival by Design is a series of lessons that will provide structure for revival based on biblical truths and examples. It'll expound on specific evangelistic methods for one-on-one evangelism as well as in a group. It'll teach the true meaning of brokenness and the necessity to be used of God to our greatest potential. We'll learn how to pray through the tabernacle plan, which Brother Wells kind of covered some of this in some of his past lessons, and how it can be applied to our personal daily prayer. It'll teach on various fasts and their purposes and the importance of early morning prayer. We'll see how the church as a body can work together for the sake of unity and progress. It'll provide step-by-step approaches on how to become wise fishers of men. That was another series Al and I went through in Aurora that was just called Fisherman's Workshop, and it just helped us learn ways to meet people and be able to start up conversations with a complete stranger, and before you know it, you could tell them about the Lord and give your testimony. We'll look in depth at spiritual warfare and what we can do to fight that warfare. It'll cover intercessory prayer and prayer walks. All of us are given to evangelism. Revival by Design will discuss and expound on various approaches on how to do that. Revival by Design will cover successful outreach methods and how to pray for lost souls. We'll learn approaches to reach lost souls as a unified team, and we'll also learn to deal with conflict within that team. There will be instruction on how to teach a Bible study and the importance of being faithful to the Word of God. Revival by Design will help us to understand balanced, God-given structure in regards to activation and operation of the gifts of the Spirit. We'll learn the importance of how a Christian should continually live if they desire to see God's glory in their lives. We'll receive instruction on how to pray with someone to receive the Holy Ghost. I know a lot of people are kind of a little afraid sometimes to get up in the altar and work with somebody because they're just not really sure what to say to them. So this will help in that area. And the importance of being in a right standing with God yourself, being sensitive to God's leading, praying appropriately, and with proper motives. Revival by Design will show us how to prepare a seeker and being aware of the barriers that might hinder them from receiving the Holy Ghost. It'll show us how to prepare someone to be healed. We'll learn why signs and wonders and how that opens the door to the gospel, and how to speak and pray the spoken word, which is a key weapon for spiritual warfare. It'll show us how to do altar work as a team and how that should function. And we'll see the benefits of dividing and conquering our city into different areas. It'll show us the importance of having proper structure within the church, and it'll define each member of the body and their purpose. This will also look at strategies for an already established assembly or for a new territory, and it'll cover working under God-given leadership and authority and how one obtains that authority. And then, most importantly, on honoring leadership. Pretty much it. It's just a series of lessons that are going to kind of cover all those subjects and just help us to be more familiar with what we should be doing in the process of growing the church.
You can stand. Thank you, Sister Christy. I don't know about you, but as she was reading down through many of those bullet points, I kept saying in my mind, yeah, we need that. Yeah, we need that. Yeah, I need that. Yep. Want to know more about that? And if you found yourself doing that, is that if she was going down through those bullet points and you found yourself saying, yeah, that would be, I could see where that would be beneficial. I could see where I need to know. I would like to know more about that. I would like to be involved in working in the altar. I would like to know how to do that. If you had any of those questions arise in your mind, then you're a candidate. And we want you to become involved. And I'm pledging to you, and one of those things is coming into this new year, 2016, one of my prayers is, God, help me find ways to get people more involved in what's going on. Reaching people with people. Making relationships, establishing connections. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. I thank you. I believe I stand before some people who really do care. There's concern in their heart. I believe that there's personal involvement, God, and a desire, God, to take personal responsibility and accountability for the growth of this church. And Lord, let us all have that same desire, Lord. Let it be something, Lord, that continue, God, to bombard our heart and minds as we go throughout the day, Lord, that we think, God, I want to be more involved. I want to find ways to minister to people. I want to find ways to help people, God, to meet their needs. God, help me. I want to be a greater warrior for your cause and for your kingdom. Lord, help me to do those things and be what you would have me to be. God, I'm not going to wait until I get it all right, Lord, but I'm going to go ahead and start and get involved, and I'm never going to have it all right. I'm never going to be perfect, but I'm going to strive and I'm going to press toward the mark. And in doing so, I'm going to reach to other people, God, to minister to them. And I'm going to become involved, God, not only for myself, but for others. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you, Jesus, for who you are and what you do in your name that is above every name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this evening. You may go in Jesus' name.